A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Erechin Dav Zayin, Erechin 7a, pagination is 13. We'll start on the facing page, midway on the page, Masnisin at the Mishnah. Hagoses, a person who's deathly ill and the illness has progressed to the point that they're already breathing their final breaths. Vayotze lihareg, and a person who by the nature of it is perfectly healthy, but he's on death row. He's physically being taken out to be killed. Lo nidar velo nerach. The vows regarding them would not have value, whether it's made as a vow of the person's market value or ne'erach, based on the book value, as in the Torah assigns for gender and age, it's not going to be binding. Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya Omer, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya says, Nerach would take effect, v'pnei she'domav kitsuvin, because that's a set amount, and has nothing to do with the fact that they're not well or not in a good way. But the Tanakhama says that there is no binding nature to such a vow. Skipping to the Gemara, Bishlama Goses, I readily understand the concept of a Goses, the person is dying. So in such a case, these valuations are not going to apply. Skipping a line, Eliyotze Lihareg, but if a person is on death row, he's being taken to be killed, Bishlam alon nidar, I could appreciate why a vow of value on the market is not going to be relevant, Elav bar damim hu, because the person doesn't have a value on the market. Elalo nerach amaylo, but why not give them the valuation of the pasuk? And indeed, that was the objection of Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. And the Gemara answers the Tanya, Minayin ayotzi lihoreg, v'omar erki olai, shalo omar klum. How do you know that erech does not apply when a person is being taken out to be killed? Tamad loma kol cheirem lo yipode. If something is designated to be destroyed, then it doesn't have redemption value. Yachal afilu kodem shenigmar dino. I would think, even during the deliberation process before the final word, tamad lomar min ha'adam v'lo kol ha'adam, during the deliberation process, it still has a value, a binding nature. Let's move on to today's daf, the last of the small lines, Masnisin. Ha'isha shayatza lihareg. A woman is being taken out to be killed. Capital offense. She's violated. She is guilty. Ein mamtinin la ad shetelet. We don't wait and delay until she should give birth. She's pregnant. We could wait months until she gives birth, and then kill her. We don't do that. Now, first reactions, before we get to the Gemara, just first reactions, there's a very serious concept of ein ma'anin es hadin. A person, once the sentence has been issued, we don't delay it. That's considered causing the person terrible anguish. So that's certainly a consideration. But nevertheless, we're going to require a pasuk, because how do you define the pregnancy? You can't kill someone who's not guilty. So we need a pasuk that's going to help us define that. The Mishnah continues and says, so isha sheyoshva al hamashber, once she's on the birthing stone, labor has begun, mamtinen la achateled. Then you would wait until the birth. Says Rashi, Kevan da'okar v'na mimikomo, once the fetus has already uprooted itself from its location and started moving, it's the birthing process in progress, gufa acharinahu. It's considered a different entity, and it's not an extension of herself, as we will see the Gemara is going to explain in the case where the labor has not begun. Now, this is also a significant consideration in the world of medical ethics. The question of abortion, if you would have such a case where the birth is putting the mother at risk, so then the Rambam's description is once the child has emerged, once the head has emerged, there's a status of the child being a live entity of its own. But until that point, it's not an entity of its own yet, as in a live person, but it's a significant entity. And in such a case, during the birthing process, we're still able to say that the fetus is a rodef, is a pursuer of the woman who's innocent, so to speak. Why are you pursuing me? And we would do the abortion on the fetus to save the life of the mother. Once the head emerges, so then the Rambam describes it as darko shel olam. This is the way of the world. Once the child is an entity of its own. Over here, what we're getting is simply mamtinin, that you would have to wait because the child is already in movement. So we're really recognizing three different stages: the stage of fetus, the stage of labor, and the stage of really the beginning of delivery, where the head has already emerged and they're trying to finish up, and that's when they hit the crisis. It's handled in a much more serious fashion. On the first ruling of the Mishnah, the Gemara wonders, gufahi, indeed, the fetus before labor has started is simply a part of the woman. It's a limb of the woman. So that's the explanation of the ruling. Ein mamtinin lo ad shateled, you don't delay until she's going to give birth. On the other hand, we do recognize in some contexts that the fetus has entity status of its own. In the beginning of a line, Omar Rabbi Yochanan said, Omar Kro, it's based on a pasuk, Umesu gam sheneihem. An inclusion, also, they should both be killed, Lirabos es avalad, to tell you how to handle this unique case where there's another entity besides the condemned. How do you handle that? And that's umesu gam sheneihem lirabos es avlad, to include the child. The Gemara does wonder that that pasuk is already used to include a different, also ambiguous case. V'haymi boi le'ach yu sheneihem shavin divir Rabbi Yoshia. According to Rabbi Yoshia, there is the rule that both people involved in the forbidden act have to be equally able to be guilty, meaning both legal adults. If you would have an underage person with a person who's above bar bas mitzvah, then according to Rabbi Yoshia, they would both be absolved, one of them because they're a minor, not bar bas mitzvah, and the other because of umesu gam sheneihem. Both people involved in the forbidden act would have to be guilty in order to impose the capital punishment. So according to Rav Yoshia, we have a question, which the Gemara resolves. But according to Rav Yoshia, we have this question that Umesu Gam Shenehem is already used to include something else of a peer, of joining the two together. In Rav Yoshia's application, it actually is absolving them both. In the Mishnah's application, it's actually obligating them both. But in any case, they're one unit. Umesu Gam Shenehem, they're unified. And that's the opinion of Rav Yoshia, that they both have to be guilty. Just to bring this to what's a more universal perception, as we learn Gemara and Halacha, we actually do not paskin that they both have to be guilty in order to inflict capital punishment on the one that is an adult. The Rambam, for example, in Isurei Bia, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Gimel, describes a case where you have a married woman. The married woman could be under the age of Bas Mitzvah if the father married her off. Such a thing is possible in Talmudic times. And you could have the married woman above the age of Bas Mitzvah, but the man who is with her is not a legal adult. It's a boy over the age of 9, where the halacha is that such an act would be recognized as an act. The Rambam writes, Kol Isha Asura Me'elu, if you have a situation of a woman who's forbidden to somebody else, if she's age 3 and above, so that living with her is defined as an act. The adult, the man, who's with such an underage child, besides being objectionable, but it's a case of legally forbidden, it could be capital punishment. V'yiptura meklum, and the child that's involved is absolved. Elim kein haise gedola, she would only be obligated if she's a legal adult. V'maisa p'chusa mizeh, hare shneyem piturim she'en biyasa biya. If she's less than 3, then it may be disgusting. Either way, it's disgusting, but that's not considered an act, a recognized act. V'chein isha gedola shaba aleha katan. Likewise, an adult woman that an underage child, boy, is with her. Imahaya ben tesh shanim v'yom echad. If it's 9 and above, then the obligations of capital crime would indeed apply for who pater, but the child who's underage is absolved. Vimhaya ben teshanim ulamata, and if he's less than 9, shneim peturim, they're both absolved. Again, it's a disgusting act, leave scars, etc., but in a legal sense, it's not a legal act of capital punishment because the child is simply not old enough to be considered the act. So again, our Gemara is asking, according to Rav Yoshia, who says that they both have to be guilty, umesu gam shenehem, in unison, just to observe that that's not the typical way that we approach it in halacha, the way the Rambam presents across other cases where we definitely find that one can be guilty and one is not. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.